I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. I say welcome back because we're here every night, 7 to 9 p.m., right here on KSL News Radio. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback, Scott Mitchell, of course, always here with me. Scott, on a scale of 1 to I'm not paying attention right now, how much are you going to be paying attention during this segment as the Jazz are in the fourth quarter, in the last 7 minutes of this game against Philadelphia, and now it's gotten to the point where it's back and forth, back and forth. We got a lot to talk about, and I just want you to stay focused. And I want you to understand,
listen,
when I'm not focused.
I'm 10, right? So yes. I'm a highly trained professional.
Oh,
Alex.
Good. That's good.
And I value my job, and I will stay focused, and I'll take care of business.
Well, then let's start right there. The Jazz going into the All-Star break tonight. In the next 7.5 minutes, in fact, they will be finishing off their first half of the season. And we've got a lot to say about this Jazz team and what they've done over the first part of the season this year. And it's our 705 cut. Let's just jump in.
The cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so first things first here, Scott. From tonight's game, I don't know if I should worry about the outcome of tonight's game that much. Now, if they win, I'm going to say, of course, they're the best team that we've ever seen. If they lose, then they're kind of – they've lost 3 out of the last 4 – 4 out of the last 7. And so this is one of those games where I mean, and this is the best team in the East, right? I mean, you look at the 76ers, they have who is now leading the MVP conversation in Joel Embiid, and the Jazz are currently leading 101-99 with 6:30 left in this fourth quarter. And all the stars are in the game now. Everybody's come in. Everybody, Embiid's back on the floor. Donovan Mitchell's back on the floor. So everybody kind of got their rest, and they're all. It's going to be, I think, a fiery last few minutes here because the Jazz are going into the All-Star game here. They have a chance to. They've already done something historic, and that is we haven't seen a Jazz team this good since the Stockton to Malone days, and we've heard that all the first half of this season, right? So I'm wondering, does the outcome of this game first matter to you that much, or is it one of those things where you go, nope, this is still – it's not going to mar that much. It's not going to ruin the fact that the Jazz had one of the most amazing first halves of the season.
If you look at the Jazz, and pretty much every single game they've lost this year has been pretty close. They haven't just been blown out of the building. This stretch here that they've had with this 4 last road games, I mean, they've been close games, but they've also had teams that have just played lights out. New Orleans played lights out. Miami played lights out. But it's not. I think winning this last game, going into the All-Star break, is really just a. It's a psychological like optic thing. Does it really matter at the end of the day? Probably not. But just from an optic standpoint,
and just from the way the team has got to feel going into the break,
yeah.
Beating this team above everybody else, you know, right. Who they've been playing.
Do I care? Of course I care, because you want the team to do well. You want them to end on a positive note. But really what I want to see is I want to see this team really play and close out this season strong. If you watch every NBA game, championship teams learn how to close out games. You know, so here are the Jazz. They've got a great opportunity to close out this game in the last 5 minutes against the Philadelphia 76ers. And that's what you want to see going into the second half of the season, are the Jazz finishers, because it really doesn't – the first half of the season means absolutely nothing if the Jazz don't play well and don't close out the season. Now, they're one of the really, really bright spots I do want to bring up with you, Alex,
mm-hmm.
is that the Jazz have a 7-game lead on Portland in the Northwest Division standings, just so you know.
Just to okay? keep the perspective,
yes.
they are – Northwest Division leaders. I remember the beginning of the
year.
And
they're going to go into the break, Alex.
Yes.
They're going to be the best team in the NBA. They're going to have, you know, no matter what happens, they're going to have a lead. They're going to have, on the West, they've had a great first half. But how well does this team finish is a huge, huge thing for the Jazz.
Donovan is obviously trying to, take over, you know, this game, and in the last few minutes here, and the Jazz are up 2-106-104. And I can't help but think of all the, you know, they had a couple of big, long win streaks that really got fans so excited about this team. And it's just been an amazing front half of the season. And yet, the only thing everybody can say is that, of course, the Utah Jazz are probably fake. That this Utah Jazz team, there's no way they're like, you know, they're like everybody else who are these amazing teams like in LA or the Nets because of the superstar thing. At what point do you have to be a NBA champion to be a superstar? The answer is no. You just have to be in a big market. If Donovan Mitchell was in LA, would he already be at superstar status with LeBron? I mean, or if he was in New York, or if he was in even Miami, would we have considered him a superstar already? Is he just a victim of being here in a middle market?
I think his game still has to develop. It still has to he has to do something, you know, and he started to get there when he was at the last year in the bubble. You know, having that series, although it was short, scoring, you know, 50 plus points in multiple games, that was Donovan Mitchell starting to get to that superstar status. And you start seeing, you know, this Jazz team goes on and has the best record in the NBA. They're a number one seed. They go deep into the playoffs. Maybe they go play and win a championship. Of course, he now becomes a superstar. There's no question about it. But his game still has – there's still some seasoning. There's still some development. There's still some stuff that's going to – you know, that the Jazz just – they're just going to be required to really – be that great player. You look at a lot of players. I mean, you look at Karl Malone, you look at John Stockton. What made them great in their careers was really their longevity. Like, you didn't sit here and it took a while for those guys to get any kind of appreciation.
Sure.
And it was that they showed up every single night, and you got a great performance out of them every single night, and they just got really hard to stop. But it was, you know, does winning a championship require it? No, I mean, John Stockton and Karl Malone are legends, not in Utah, in the NBA, all Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Considered, you know, some of the top 50 players ever in NBA history. And it's because of their longevity, and not just that they played long, but they played at a high level for a long period of time.
You know, you notice that teams get points too. They're like, You remember that Rockets team that won, I think, in 94 and 95 and 95, 96. I think those are the 2 years that Michael Jordan was out of the game, right? Because then it was 96, 97, and 97, yeah. 98 that the Jazz went to the finals. And I think people look and they went, well, of course, if the Jazz weren't playing the Bulls, they were by far the best team in the NBA those 2 years. And you know, nobody – people kind of give you bonus points. It's like, well, if you played against Michael Jordan in the finals, you're on the hallowed ground there. And I just wonder if Donovan Mitchell, if he doesn't start to get close to winning championships, like if this year, if they go out in that second round, if he starts to look around and go, I gotta go somewhere else. We always wonder about whether or not he'd want to go to a New York because he's from there. He grew up a Knicks fan. But you look at teams like New York, and they can't get anything together. They can never figure it out. The leadership here, the coaching here that they get, I'm convinced that they want to stay here for Dennis Lindsay. They want to stay here for Quinn Snyder.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to jinx this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jazz go and have a really good season and have another early exit out of the playoffs. And it's that catalyst that kind of propels them.
Oh, 21-22 champions?
in a year to really button it down, because it kind of happened that way with Malone and Stockton. And there was a piece to the puzzle. It was like, right, Hornacek showed up, and the Jazz just, you know, they got some great bench player and some role players, and then they just they really learned how to win a championship, or at least get there, because they had some heartbreaking, gut-wrenching losing series.
Bogey with a three. It's 112-109 with 2:45 left in the fourth quarter. We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey. Keith Morrison, you know, the great interviewer, is doing
Dateline,
a podcast.
He's the Dateline,
yes, the
NBC
Dateline
guy.
NBC guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He is doing this podcast, Mommy Doomsday, right, on the Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow thing in Idaho and blah, blah, blah. And there's certainly an interest from my perspective because I grew up with Chad.
Right.
And he also authored a book I wrote.
I love what he said. I grew up with Chad.
Yeah.
First
yeah.
name basis with
it's a different,
an accused
murderer. It's a different thing.
No
Anyways,
problem.
What was fascinating to me in this, because of course I'm listening, was when the cops come to her house to find where her kids are, mm-hmm. and she lies about so many things, but she lies with so much honesty. And
what?
She
believes it.
It was believable. Oh. And I think she was more trying to convince herself of her lie. And I think we all do that. Like I go, oh man, I'm not that fat, you know.
No, right.
Just looking at
that much about the Jazz, dude. I actually don't care at all.
Yeah, and so you convince yourself of your lies, and it just brought me back to my days of playing football, where like there was one thing that kept you honest, and it was brutal sometimes, it was painful sometimes, but it was a constant, and that is you always had to watch the game film of practice. And of the games, and so you couldn't lie, you could not lie your way out of anything,
right,
because it was on film. And think about Alex, if our entire day at work or anyone's entire day at work is videotaped, like how differently would you act, or how uncomfortable would it be to sit down with your boss and go, yeah, let's review things.
Oh man,
could you imagine that?
No, I could not.
Could you imagine us sitting down with Nate Dowdle and going, you know, I think
what were you doing? Now, what were you doing here? Well, I didn't think anybody was watching. That's why, hence the nose picking. Well,
it wasn't
okay,
me.
Well.
I wasn't playing solitaire on the computer. Okay.
Yeah.
It just showed up and I was just trying to get it off of my screen and it wouldn't get off. And it was like, and I felt like the only way to get it off,
yeah.
I had to play it.
You got to beat it.
Right? You got to play it.
The only way you could get rid of it is to beat it. Jazz up 116-113 with 28 seconds left.
Boy.
I don't even know who has the ball right now because there was like a weird transition here with, it looked like Royce O'Neal stole the ball, but he might have stepped on the line or he might have been fouled as he got the ball back in. He was kind of in midair trying to throw the ball to Donovan. So I don't even know who has the ball right now, but it's full timeout. It looks like it was out of bounds. So, yeah, so it's going to be Philly's ball, 116-113, and as they review this one. But, Scott, I wanted to bring up I love that. He was lying with such honesty. Is that the point? Isn't that what people are trying to do? They're trying to –
Well, it's because you know she's lying.
Oh, I know.
But they don't
know
she's lying, and she says it so convincingly. Like,
okay, well,
she has believed
this.
Her lies.
Let me ask you this. You can go over to KSLSports.com, and you can read this article written up by Kyle Ireland, one of our colleagues over there in the sports department. And Zach Wilson, according to another source, says he's a guy that you'd much rather have on your team than – the obvious pick at number one, Trevor Lawrence, for so many other people. So Chris Sims, throw him on the list of guys who feel like the NFL quarterback rankings in the draft are Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, instead of Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, or whatever Justin Fields. He has Justin Fields actually listed at number five on the list compared to the usual with some people, which is, they have Chris Sims at number three. So my question is, if you are if you see somebody like this, is Chris Sims telling the truth or is he just giving you a fake take? I mean, he told the truth, Scott, with such honesty. I almost believed him. Because all these guys, Chris Sims is saying, oh, yeah, he's a superstar. I mean, we watched Zach Wilson have one really, really good year and a really great bowl game, right, where he was 18 right. for 18. That's what we saw out of this guy. We saw a lot of flashes. We saw a lot of mistakes that sophomore year. Just a year ago right now, everybody was going, yeah, he's probably not even going to be the starter. I bet he loses it to Jaren Hall. That's where we all were, not knowing, right? Yeah, when we have these guys roll out and go, oh, for sure, he's going to be the number one guy because he's a natural superstar. And you go, oh, okay.
I think people are caught up in all these different angles of throwing footballs, right? And I think that they're looking at and it's one thing to throw an odd angled pass against, you know, University of Texas San Antonio. It's a very different one throwing it against the Pittsburgh Steelers or whomever. And you see these guys who've developed this over time, Aaron Rodgers, cuz they're comparing him to Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and
right.
and some of these quarterbacks that truly are amazing. And I'm not look, I've been a Zach Wilson fan since the time he was in high school. I couldn't understand watching him in high school going, why is not the University of Utah and BYU recruiting this guy? Been on record saying this over and over again. But I think that sometimes you make a point, and there's a lot of validity to it, that you look at Trevor Lawrence, and he's had this consistent body of work against really good competition over a longer period of time. There's some consistency. Zach Wilson was, and again, I know he probably had an injury because he did not look consistent a year ago.
Right.
But when you were saying this, I'm just thinking of Akili Smith. Akili Smith had one amazing year at Oregon.
Was Akili Smith like
amazing year,
but
Alex?
But was he a surefire dude coming out?
Everyone thought this guy is something else, and a lot of it was kind of the system that he was in. And a lot of people were not kind of questioning a little bit, but they really weren't. I mean,
okay,
it was
take
like
off the goggles.
Three
of,
in the back.
Take off the goggles
in
of the guy who ended up, being Akili Smith came in for you at some point when you're playing for the Bengals. Take that, throw that away if you can for a moment, and just like, were there moments in practices where you're like, oh, he is extremely athletic though.
Every day in practice. Every day, I'd sit there and go, this guy, wow. I mean, on 7-on-7 drills, whoa. He was the master. When there was no offensive line and no defensive rush, that guy was amazing. But the minute he got in a football game, the game just disappeared. Like, he could not make a decision, could not make a throw. The speed of the game just went by him. You know, in practice, he was a practice warrior. You know, he was unbelievable. But the thing about Zach Wilson, I'm a little perplexed by some of this. It's almost like someone said it, and these other analysts and analysts and commentators felt like,
well, I'm going to get on that train.
Well, maybe
too.
I need to.
I'll actually watch the video. Maybe
yes.
I'll watch. They actually
right.
go, okay, some other people have said this. I'm going to watch the film. I'm going to watch some of the film.
Yeah, I'm a little, and maybe it could be, I don't know why, maybe it's the New York Jets doing this. And maybe they're putting this stuff out. Maybe they're feeding people things and saying, you know, everyone on the insiders in the NFL thinks Zach Wilson's the guy. And so they're feeding these guys so they'll publicly do it in the hopes that they'll go to Urban Meyer and they'll say, Urban Meyer, you really need to pass on Trevor Lawrence because this Zach Wilson kid is the thing, you know? And so Urban Meyer goes, I'll take Zach Wilson. They go, thank you very much, because really we wanted Trevor Lawrence all along.
Right.
And these are the types of stories. I'm not saying this is happening here, but I guarantee you it's happened in the past. A lot of misinformation gets thrown out before the draft to kind of help someone's position to make someone either look better or look worse, but it's only for them to help themselves out. It's not the truth. It's not what people are thinking. It's I don't know what kind of warfare you call that, but it's you know, it's media warfare, I guess, that's happening.
It feels a little bit
like that.
They do what the GMs do in the NFL. Oh, I really like that Zach Wilson kid. And the reality is they're faking it just so the other analysts will say the same thing and they'll go, gotcha, we didn't want him. Mike Conley had a chance to win at the end of regulation with a little two-point scoop there and rims out. Three bounces on the rim and rims out. It's 118-118. Headed to overtime are the Jazz with the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll come right back. Got more to go on this program. Bonus basketball tonight. Holy cow. Stay right here with us. News, traffic, and weather right now.
ASL's Unrivaled. ASA. Ask Scott anything. Insider questions. Candid answers. Nothing's off limits. Just don't make it awkward. It's Ask Scott anything.
Sorry, I'm just staring at the screen in disbelief here. The Jazz have been absolutely ripped off these last few minutes in overtime by the referees in this game. My heavens. I mean, listen, deceptions you tell yourself in sports. Scott, I'll go first. Lies I told myself today. I just want to get this off my chest. The lie I told myself today. This game doesn't matter that much to me. How many times have we not cared about this 76ers when the Jazz are on the road playing the 76ers over the last, I don't know, 10 years, I have beyond not cared. Like, it's one of those, you go, show me the box score after the game, right? Just give me the news of what happened after the game. And in this game, it's an absolute barn burner, and it's been such a good game, but the Jazz have been ripped off, in the second
Donovan
half.
Mitchell's shooting 10 for 22.
Yeah, he's not doing well. And Joel Embiid is like doing his usual maximum efficiency. But these refs are
look, they've had a chance to win this game.
I don't want to sound like that guy at the game that you hate who goes, "Okay, sure, the refs did it."
All right.
But Donovan Mitchell's just been ejected, buddy.
But here's the thing.
Mitchell just got thrown out of the game, Scott.
That's fine.
See, and guess what? This game, I don't care about this game. Are you kidding? Of course I Donovan
no,
just
no,
threw the water bucket. Donovan
no,
just threw the
that's
water
fine.
Bucket.
Good. And then maybe, you know, he's mad because he's played terrible. But look, this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. The Jazz have got to find a way to finish out, to close out games, to close out the season. That's what this is all about. And you got to hit the shots in the clutch moments. That's what makes you a superstar. And that's what the Jazz, you know, so hopefully they look at these last two losses, the New Orleans Pelicans and the 76ers, and they go, what did we do? We had a shot to close out, win the game. We didn't make the shots at the end to win games. That's what they have to do. So for me, yeah, I'm upset. The Jazz still the best record in the NBA.
Right.
Still have a multiple game lead in the West. And everything's in their control. For the rest of the season is in their control.
Here's what is just happening right now. The Jazz are down 129, 123 with 30 seconds. This game's in hand. The 76ers are going to win this game. They've got the ball back. But Donovan Mitchell has just been ejected with his second technical foul in about 2 minutes. But Donovan doesn't get teed up twice. You know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't happen very often. And part of the deal is he felt like he got ripped off these last few minutes. He felt like the calls have gone a lot in the direction of Philadelphia, and I think that anybody with eyeballs watching this game would think the same thing. However, no one cares when you could have wrapped this thing up in regulation. You had a chance to win at the very end of regulation. You got a three-pointer. Oh, my goodness. I cannot stand to watch Dwight Howard laughing at the Jazz. Like, I can't wait for the playoffs. And right now, what has just been born inside of me, Scott Mitchell, is the desire to take on the 76ers in the NBA Finals. That's all I want now, because this game has absolutely turned in. Again, the deception. Tell me one lie you told yourself about sports today, Scott. Mine was, I don't care about this game. Confession time.
Alex, I learned a long time ago that you You just don't lie.
Just be honest with yourself. Yeah. I tried to tell my I actually believed it.
There's my lie right there.
You just lied.
There was my lie. My lie was that, you know, don't
I'm not going to lie to myself. Yeah. The reality is we get so wrapped up in this stuff, and the Jazz are going into the All-Star break now. They've got 9 games off after this loss, and I hope that it galvanizes them. I hope that they take this loss in Philadelphia tonight, and I hope they just – I wish that we had no All-Stars too. You know what I mean? I wish the Jazz had no All-Stars and they could just go home, or they had, you know, they had to hit the beach in Mexico for 3 or 4 days and just think about
the
life.
The French
man.
Riviera. It's much more dramatic.
Just beach wherever, in Mexico. Wherever they were going to go on vacation.
Who goes to a beach in Mexico? Seriously. I mean, you've got to be stupid to go there.
I was just saying that I was trying to keep it close, a beach that was close that they could actually fly to, you know. But I'm.
Are you supposed to be asking me a question right now?
I asked you what was the lie you told yourself, and then you tried to get all high and mighty on me about the.
That was the question.
That was one of the questions, because I was just
look.
Like,
my lies are always about my weight, and they are because I'm overweight. And on Sunday I came to the realization, Scott, you're lying to yourself. You need to get your behind in gear, and you're overweight.
All right.
Do something about it. Come on.
Scott, the draft is coming up, of course. We were just talking about Zach Wilson and his potential impact, of course, I think BYU fans are going to be watching this draft more closely than they've ever watched, because you could potentially see a BYU guy going, you know, number 2 in the draft. Last time they had somebody in the top 5 was Ziggy Ansah. And it's not as sexy, Scott, when you have a defensive player go in the top 5 of the draft. But –
yeah, it is.
A BYU quarterback. Well, come on. With a quarter, even you have to admit that a quarterback going in the draft early is pretty cool for your team. So my question is, when you see this, that they're going to have having virtual combine, and then mostly this stuff's happening with pro days around the league. Do you look at this? What are things that can actually kill your draft stock at a combine? Because I feel like now Tom Brady and his slow legs moving at that combine, now actually people don't care that much about your 40 time as much as they used to. People don't care about your hand size nearly as much as they used to. They'll try to make a big deal out of it, but what is the deal breaker for your GM for the draft?
here's the thing with quarterbacks. NFL teams know that a lot of quarterbacks aren't, and a lot of really good quarterbacks are not drafted in the first round. Sure, there have been your John Elways, your Peyton Mannings, guys like that, but there have been a lot of guys, a lot of really, really talented Hall of Fame guys that were not first round draft choice. So you're not like just bent out of shape if you go, oh yeah, I didn't get my quarterback in the first round. You're always trying to find where is the guy kind of waiting off in the wings, and that's a reality. So it's not so much. I think teams are more scared about making a mistake about getting a quarterback in the first round than they are in later rounds. But the thing about the combine and not having it is you don't get to compare everyone together. You know, when you do comparison shopping and you're online and you go and you select like all of the things that are interesting to you and then you put them side by side. When you don't have that side by side from the NFL combine, you're still kind of guessing, is this guy better than that guy? Is he less? Is he more? Is he whatever? And it's really that moment where a guy either stands out or he doesn't. And not having that, I think it's something that could hurt certain players when going into the draft, not being able to say, hey, look at me against everyone else here. You can clearly see I'm better, but not having that hurts them.
Huge games by Tobias Harris, and then their MVP in waiting, Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid absolutely showed up Rudy Gobert on the scoring side of things this evening. Rudy, not a good night shooting for him, but Donovan Mitchell leads the game with 33 points. He was ejected from the game. We'll have more to go when we come back. We've got our MVPs around the corner. Jazz lose 131-123 in Philadelphia going to the break. Still in first place in the West. Still the best record in all the NBA. But this does not feel good. I don't know how, but it does not feel good. Taking the break here. More to go right here. MVPs are next right here on KSL News Radio.
Unrivaled. The unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player, according to Scott.
According to Alex.
Most valuable player.
All right, caught watching the paint dry here, Scott. And by that, I mean the Jazz lose tonight, 131-123. I'm over it.
You know, I think there's part of me that want to coach.
There's part of you that wants to coach?
Yeah, there's a part of me that would want to go into coaching.
Not the same part. You've done it before. It's not. Listen.
No. Not in high school. I enjoyed that. But, you know, maybe at a higher level.
Are you talking about the NBA? Your lost call. Lost call into coaching the NBA. You're talking about in the pro ranks. You and I both know that you already have the credentials to do it. Maybe you just don't have the friends hiring you 12 years ago like most NFL coaches need to be able to get the job.
Doug Peterson wasn't.
That job for life that people get.
Yeah.
I mean, was Doug Peterson – but see, those guys usually –
Doug Peterson was coaching high school football.
And then who called him up and said, why don't you start coaching?
Andy Reid.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
I mean, they had a connection back in their day when he was with the Green Bay Packers.
But I'm just saying, why would you want to get, well, the money, right? That's all.
I don't care about the money.
The payoff, you think?
No.
Come on, the politics and all that stuff, it's not fun anymore. Come on.
I believe things should be a certain way. And I would just want to see if there was some validity to my way. That's all I'd – and I felt that going back and coaching high school football, and you know what I found out? That my way actually wasn't just about me, that I could actually teach other people how to think about football and prepare and excel at it like I did.
Right.
And they can, and they did.
Scott, do you have an MVP tonight? Because I'm having a hard time finding positives with this Jazz loss going into the All-Star break.
You got nine days to get over.
Well, they got 9 days that I have to sit with that, right? That they go into the second half of the season.
Why don't we just not talk about it for a few days?
See you tomorrow on the show, on our sports show, when we're going to have to. We already booked Ben Anderson for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, who's Ben Anderson? What does he do? Just totally blow it off.
All right.
I have an MVP.
Forgot to call you. Go ahead.
I have a good MVP.
Let's hear it.
All right. So my MVP is Stanford, the University of Stanford. I think they're the Cardinal now, but it's really a tree. And they are the first Pac-12. Well, really, they're the first Power 5 team since 2011 to actually play an entire season of Power 5 teams. I mean, BYU is close to that every year. They just happen to.
No, but they always throw in a couple of those.
Well, they throw in UMass and Liberty, and it's just kind of.
It's just
disappointing when they do that.
Look, the SEC sets the example for everybody. Oh, look how tough this part of our schedule is. And then they hope you forget about the part where they play the Citadel and Furman. You know, so that's what I think that it's pretty well documented.
Here's why I like this, okay? And this is. This is probably a trend that's going to go with more teams. I mean, Utah's already put SEC schools on their non-conference schedule. So BYU, they're considered a Power 5 school, right? Are they a Power 5? No, they're not. They're independent.
Not. Right. Stanford's not playing them, though.
but Utah is. Maybe they'll have to not play them so they can, you know, have it. Anyway, that's for a future conversation. But what I like about this is and Stanford's kind of that way. They're like, you know, we're Stanford and we think we're kind of special and we're kind of important and we're not afraid of anything. We're not afraid of anyone. And we're going to go out and we're going to schedule really good football games because we want to be a serious contender. I love these schools and I loved it from BYU last year when they said, we'll go play Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
We know that there's even the possibility we might lose. And even with that, we don't care. And it's about a mindset and it's about an attitude and it's a winning attitude. And I believe it's a healthy attitude to not cower from things, but to face them head on. That's the second lie I've had today. No, I'm just kidding.
You're like, I think all 12 games being all Power 5 teams is a great way to go. That's your fourth lie of the day.
Yeah. we're gonna do our non-conference. It's just gonna be like themed. So this year we're gonna do an SEC theme, right? We're gonna play Alabama, Georgia, and Florida.
Yes,
as our non-conference, just so we can be different.
Look, the thing is that every athletic director knows ending the season 9-3 is by, and then the moral victory of saying, yeah, but we played all P5 teams. No one cares. Like, no one cares at the end. Everybody's going, hey, we were three losses or we were three wins instead of those three losses away from going to the college football playoff. Why did you have to cancel Wyoming and put Florida there? Why did you have to cancel this one and put that? That's what I'm saying.
Don't mention the Wyoming game. Okay? Oh. We want that to be canceled.
You want that one to
That's
be canceled
okay.
forever.
Just use a different example. San Diego State or Fresno State, heavens. Something. Just don't.
Okay.
I don't ever want to go to Laramie again in my lifetime.
You just put it out there in the universe. It's going to happen again. You know they're going to reschedule it. You know they're going to figure it out. Scott, my MVP for tonight. Now, hang with me here. You're not going to like this. You're not going to like it. It's James Harden.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, but hear me out. It's not really James Harden as much as it is the Houston Rockets, okay? James Harden left, of course, and the fury that has surrounded his leaving Houston. I mean, he basically pulled the superstar move and pouted, right, and said, I've done all I can do here. I can't play anymore here. I can't help this team anymore. The management hasn't done enough to help us out, blah, 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 right? And he whined enough, and he got put on an immediate – championship contender with the Brooklyn Nets, and so
it seems strange,
but they're winning by 20 tonight down in Houston. Now this is the first game that James Harden is back in Houston since the kerfuffle, and Houstonites do not like James Harden. They're like us, right? They're like everybody else. Someone says that someone rejects you, you hate them. But the Houston Rockets and their organization and their general managers said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do the right thing here. We're going to take the high road. James Harden was one of the best players in the history of our organization, and they honored him tonight before the game, and they're retiring his jersey number 13.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that? Like, instead of doing the whole, like, they didn't have to acknowledge anything. They didn't have to say anything. They didn't have to do anything. But the organization was like, look, this ended poorly for us. And, you know, you did make that that decision that you wanted to say what you make your piece public, and you went to another team and you're immediately a contender, and we're immediately not a contender because you're gone. And they honored him before the game, and they announced that they're going to retire his jersey number 13 to hang in the rafters on the night that he came back. And this is like 2 months ago that he jaded these guys, that he insulted these guys, that he brought this. And James Harden, I'll tell you, I think he was really excited. I think he was touched by the whole thing. Because the thing is that you and I, the lie we always tell, another sports lie for tonight, James Harden is a bad dude. The reality is everybody thinks he's a good dude. Like, personally, they think he's a good guy. And Houston feels that way. The Houston organization feels that way. And he couldn't help but be pretty He was touched, I think, by the whole thing.
I find fascinating with a guy like James Harden is he feels like this selfish player, right? Like, it's all about me, and he has these crazy nights. And I think what it really is he's just ultra competitive, and maybe he knows there are holes in the lineup, the players, you know, whatever, and so he feels like he has to do more because he goes to the Nets. And he realizes, look, I'm with some amazing people. It's like Kevin Durant when he went to Golden State, and they said, look, we kind of play a team concept here. And he totally bought into it. And so we look at these players and go, you're selfish, you're not a team player. And maybe there's some underlying things that we're just not aware of. And it still doesn't make me like James Harden any better, but his game changes to fit where he is, and so maybe it's just the circumstances and not the individual.
It's kind of a perfect time to do it too, because they only had.
You're way off, by the way.
Why
tonight? You're just off. The Jazz lose, and now you're having James Harden as an MVP.
Well, it's more the Houston Rockets being MVP. Yeah. Turning the cheek, yeah. I guess.
So that was a little bait and switch on me there. You said James Harden, but it was really the Houston Rockets. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he came out and he waved to the 3,900 fans that were there. It's a good move though to do it then, and it was actually better for James Harden. If you have 19,000 fans in the house, you're probably going to get mostly boo birds. You know what I mean? So I think it's a good night to do it. All right, we're taking the break here. We've got our 8:05 cut around the corner. News, traffic, and weather's right now. And, boy, Sam Farnsworth's going to jump into the studio. He'll react next hour about the Jazz and about all sorts of things. So stay right here with us. More to go. It's KSL News Radio. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. Jazz fall tonight going into the All-Star break. 131-123 in Philadelphia in overtime. Things of note from the game. Donovan Mitchell scored 33 before being ejected. Getting both technicals in overtime to be ejected. Not happy with the officiating. Jazz fans on Twitter also not happy with the officiating. Ben Anderson, our own Ben Anderson from KSLSports.com, actually just tweeted out, clearly officiating was much more significant issue inside the Jazz locker room behind the scenes than they had talked about before tonight. It just came to a boil because of Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, and Quinn Snyder having grievances. Quinn was very vocal about some of the bad calls during the game. Mike Conley was flabbergasted by some of the calls, and Donovan Mitchell was so upset about it. He got teed up twice tonight, Scott. And when he was thrown out of the game, he hit the water cooler so hard it hit into a security guard. He immediately had to go over and apologize so that it didn't turn into a Charles Barkley situation where he just throws stuff at people, spits on someone in the crowd, and then walks out of the arena. So
look, it's hard sometimes.
It was a mess.
Well, it's hard sometimes dealing with officials, Alex. It really is. And what's hard is the effort that you put in as a player to prepare yourself. The mental, physical grind of everything, and you're in this moment, this zone of just this highly competitive state of mind, and you have someone who, and because when you're in the game, you have a good sense of when there's a foul or when there's a penalty or whatever it might be, and so when you see it just blatantly, like, oh, you got to be kidding me, seriously, again, or this, or how could you not see that, or how did you miss that? And you feel like these officials are human, Alex. Like, they can say that they're not biased. They can say whatever they want, but there is a bias, and it's even been stated before, because it's like, well, the superstar rules. So that's a bias. So these officials aren't calling fouls.
Well, there's a moment where Joel Embiid, all the Jazz reacted immediately at the same time to a poor call. And Joel Embiid started pointing at the Jazz like, oh, they're complaining. And then he started saying, tee him up. And the ref looks at Embiid, looks at Donovan Mitchell, tees him up. And you go, why, you know, why is Joel Embiid officiating here?
Clearly, you know? Right. Clearly there's an influence there.
Can't stand this kind of stuff.
Right. And it's hard. It's hard when you're like, you feel that there's an injustice done. I mean, it's hard. And after a while, you've taken so much of it your emotions get the best of you. It happens to everyone. And what's hard is the officials ultimately and the league have all the power. And they just say you can't complain about the officials. And what does the official do if you complain? You look at them wrong, you get a technical foul. They'll kick you out of the game.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, you have to have the rules, but sometimes it's hard when you feel like they're not playing by the same set of rules or unbiased perspective that you are.
I saw an article, Scott, as we switch gears here in our 805 cut. ESPN wrote an article up about some of these coaches are on the hot seat. Now, as you've always rightly pointed out to us, every coach is always on the hot seat. If you're not doing a good job, you're gone. And one of the ones that every year it seems like we're having this conversation over the past few seasons here. And for the second season straight, the Utah Utes are going to finish below 500 in Pac-12 play. And they have had a real struggle of a season. It seems like every year they're about to get – they're going to have that one person turn the corner. They've had a lot of people leave the program, and they've had a lot of problems inside the program. Larry Kuskoviac, of course, gets even more highly criticized because he is the – 12th highest paid coach in the country, the second highest paid coach in the Pac-12 at $3.5 million a year, and the results are not bearing out, and this has become a conversation that we seem to have every time that we get to this part of the season here for the Utah basketball
team.
Look,
if you're going into an organization, go, well, we're going to build this program. We're in building mode. And I've heard this over and over. You know, this is a building year, but wait till next year. And it's like, as a fan, you don't want to be a part of a building program, because guess what? You're always going to be building. You want a coach that comes in and says, "Hey, folks, batten down the hatches. Watch out, everyone. We're taking no prisoners. We're here to win championships. Period. End of discussion." And if you're not comfortable with that, and if you're not comfortable with the process of doing that, then you need to just exit stage left immediately. And I find it so fascinating that people don't get this more. I just watched this special. It was a biography on the rivalry between Michigan and Ohio State. And what it wasn't the rivalry that really caught me. It was Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes came to Ohio State.
He's the old Ohio State coach.
And changed everything there, Alex. He changed everything. Before that, Ohio State wasn't anything. They weren't this great, you know, college football dynasty. They were nothing. And Woody Hayes changed the whole culture, really, of the state of Ohio that still permeates today. And he had this attitude of, we're here to win championships. We're here to have a championship mindset in how we practice and how we think. And they weren't afraid of it. And I see so many times these coaches that are afraid of, like, we could have a great program here. And so it's one of my biggest pet peeves here in the state of Utah. And I feel like these
which is
these,
what? They don't have the high goals, you think?
No, I don't. I do not say that. And I think look, Kalani Sitake and Kyle Whittingham have done a great job. And they've built programs based upon their vision of how they should be. And they've gotten exactly what their vision is. Good, solid, tough football programs. But they, in their mind, they don't think we're going to compete on a national stage. We're going to compete for a national championship. They don't think that way. And as long as it's that way, it's nothing is going to change. Urban Meyer came here, and he changed. He took this program to a new level. And like or hate Urban Meyer, he understood the philosophy of Woody Hayes. And you take Pete Carroll when he went to USC. USC, and I've said this over and over again, they should win the Pac-12 conference every single year. And these coaches, they come in and they're like, you know, well, we, you know, we got to take some time and we, you know, we got this is hard, you know. And it's those coaches that always complain about whatever's happened. You know, the officiating or this or that or whatever, or, you know, we can't win because we can't recruit the players they get in these other conferences. And it's like, you'll get those players if your mindset is of a championship caliber.
Yeah, but you can't,
caliber.
But at the same time, BYU can't just say our goal is to win a national championship every year.
Why
because,
not?
Because that's not so, a possibility for BYU's independence.
It's exactly
it's
why
it's they could have won all 12 games this year, even if they would have beaten
Alex.
What was the name of Coastal Carolina this year? They would have still ended number 7 in the country, and that would have been it.
I don't know that
would have
been
no
the case.
There's no way they would have been.
I don't know
in,
that
in,
that
in
would
the
have been the case.
Playoff. There's no way.
And as long as you have that mindset, that's the way it's going to be. And I've said this.
But
yes,
that's going 12-0.
No,
all right, we'll come back. We got to take a break here. We'll come back. Sam Farnsworth from KSL5 Television is going to walk in, and we'll chat with him. Obviously, we're going to react to the Jazz overtime loss as they go into the All-Star break. 9 days off. I'm going to need it. Stay right here with us. More to go right here in KSL.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, talking about a championship mindset in the last segment. Coaches that have it and coaches that don't. And I believe BYU can actually compete for a national championship, Alex.
It all started with us talking about Larry Kruskowiak and another kind of
I don't care where it started.
Bad season.
Tell you where it ended.
No, I know. I was just saying.
You
want to
hear my pitch for BYU playing for a national championship every
year? Yes,
no?
Let me hear, because my argument, just to reset it, was that's nice to say we're going to come in here and we're going to win national championships. You know, if Kalani Sitake would have said that, I don't know if he said that in his opening press conference. I doubt it. because
he probably said, "Hey, we're going to have simple systems, and we're going to have smart.
We're
going to
have systems. We're going to have
some systems.
And it's going to be good. It's going to be simple but hard.
That
but
guy
easy,
should be fired before his
difficult.
First game."
Well, my thought was, that's nice to have that goal and to have that mindset of being a champion. But BYU goes 12-0 last year.
Oh, so don't have that goal?
No,
don't
you
don't have that mindset.
It's not about having that goal. Just say go 12-0 because you don't have any control in the world of look. If the Jazz can, the Jazz every year can say win a world championship. Every year they can say it. I mean, when they have a team like this, right? They can make those goals. BYU can't say win a national championship this year because they could have gone 12-0 and they would have gotten nowhere. They would have been number 7 in the country. That's it.
Do you think the Lakers go, you know, we're not about winning championships. No, we don't do that. Do you think the Boston Celtics do you think Bill Belichick does that? No. they don't sit there and
those
go.
Those are playoff. You're talking about a reasonable playoff situation with those particular
I'm talking
leagues
about
and,
a championship mindset starts from the beginning. Oh, it has to start
you're
with
like
division.
A walking cliche, Scott. Yep.
No, I'm not.
Tell the kids that they can achieve their dreams,
oh,
too,
goodness.
While we're at it.
Yeah, I am. Completely. And so here's my pitch. I'm going to – hi, Sam.
Okay.
How are you?
Sam, welcome, Sam Farnham.
What about the Detroit Lions?
No, it's – hey, you're absolutely right.
Did you guys say
I'm
it?
I'm kidding.
Did you say were you guys like, hey, our number one goal is to win a Super Bowl this year?
That was always my goal.
Yeah.
But my whole thing in my career was I'm here to win a championship. Mm. But I'm not the owner of the organization.
Right.
I'm not the head coach. There's a whole lot of other people.
Yeah, the
you
Ford family was like, I want to make $100 million this year.
No, they just didn't want to embarrass themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
They just wanted to look good to the public. It was all about – yeah, it didn't matter.
Here comes Jared Goff.
All right, listen. Clearly you do not want to hear.
I want to hear the BYU
no,
pitch.
No, I'm not going to tell you because you're mocking me.
I've been waiting.
All
patiently.
We did was introduce Sam before we got to because you're the one who interrupted yourself. Go ahead, Scott. Give us the BYU pitch.
No, I don't want to know.
Okay. Now the right. Pouting.
No, I will. I'll give it because I'm a good person.
There you go.
Look, here is the pitch. We are playing for a national championship every year at BYU. And we're not in a conference. We're in every conference. And we're not in a certain part of the country. We're across the country.
We're everywhere, baby.
And we're looking for athletes, student athletes, who want to be excellent in every aspect of their life, who are here to play to win every day in every aspect. We're going to push you to be your very best. In your spiritual, your personal, your social, your educational, your sports life, we demand excellence. And we're looking for people. We're not looking for LDS people. We are, but not alone. We're looking for people who really want that in their life, who want an experience that's going to push them. And we're going to do something special here every year. We play in every major conference in the country. And our goal is flat out to be the very best and to play for national championships every year, end of discussion.
Did you send your resume to BYU already?
My heavens.
Do you want some inside
recruiting
information?
Job? What was the thing, though? What was it? So it was, we're not.
That was good, Scott.
We don't play in a conference. We play in every conference.
I like that. That was good, Scott.
Thank you.
And what was the other one? It was, we're not in this part of the country. We're all over the country.
Yes. Right. Yes.
You know what? Hey, look, we're not a Power 5 team. We are a powerful team.
Huh? However you want to spin it. I don't care.
I'm making t-shirts right now.
Look, I grew up in a small town in Utah. Yeah. And the thought of playing in the NFL was like, I might as well try to go to the moon. Mm-hmm. And it was unheard of. And I was told it was unheard of. And I just believed I could do it. I mean, and it had to start with that. It had to start somewhere. And I'm just saying, you change your trajectory or your expectation, everything changes.
Keep going.
Alex, nice.
I got the Rudy soundtrack. It was a little late, but I got it.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That was you know what, Scott? I liked it. That needs to be you need to apply for the copyright or whatever you need.
We're going to go left. We're going to go right.
For that speech. And then you need to go deliver it to Provo.
I'm just a humble man from the small town in Utah County who was born 6'6", 240 pounds, and threw a rocket with a left arm.
I went and I lived in other parts of the country. Okay. I've been around some of the best athletes who've ever played in football ever. And you know what? You could see what made them great. And they grew up just like I did. And they grew up and they weren't, you know, but so much of it was their belief system and their belief in themselves. And because they believed, they worked and they practiced and they prepared in a different way. And until someone has the courage to say, this isn't enough, we need to be more, we need to do more, it'll never happen. And it'll be what it is. And if everyone's okay with that, fine. I don't care. But for me, it's not okay. I think we should be more.
Oh, I love it. Give my hand, everybody.
Scotty.
Hey, Coach, if Scott's not going to be on the air tonight, I'm not going on the air, man. I don't care if he said all those cuss words on the air last night. If he's not on the air with us, I'm not going on the air, Coach.
And this is the montage of Scott in the pool right now doing laps today, right?
Yes.
and then Scott showing up doing slow motion, doing the radio show in slow motion, getting sweaty, maybe a piece of spit flies. Boom. I love it. Scott is by far the most inspirational dude of this station. Come on. I mean, just him busting out the we're not in any conference. We're in every conference. You better put that on a dang bumper sticker.
That's what
dude.
I'm saying right there. Sell that.
Tell everyone
in Provo and beyond that cheers for BYU.
You know what?
And
you know what stinks for BYU fans? It took a former Utah quarterback to come up.
You know how all the Utah fans had the Pac-12 stickers on their car?
Can I give you some? Would you guys like some insight?
Yeah.
This is deep insight right here.
Right.
A really good one of my close friends growing up, his dad is a massive Cougar sports fan. Right? He's in the, you know, the whatever the, I don't know, the Cougar Club, right?
Yeah, it's Cougar Club.
And he goes, Bronco leaves, says, hey, would you be willing to come here and coach? We need a coach like you. And I go, you get me an interview, and I'll interview and I'll go coach there. So he called up Tom Homo, and I had an interview scheduled.
Oh.
And if only I had one, and I was going to say this to Tom Homo, what I just said to you. And so I had an interview scheduled.
It was previously written down. You had it on the back of your hand ready to
run. I've just believed it all along. It's like, okay, I just don't believe BYU has owned being independent. I think they're apologizing for it. I don't think they've tried to really own it and really maximize what their opportunity is. Would I have chosen to go independent? I wouldn't. But it's like, all right, if you're here, then let's go big. Let's go big. Let's really go for this thing. And anyways, he goes, well, I've had some developments. I'll get back with you. And they hired Kalani.
They had already hired Kalani. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kalani probably stole your homework, dude, right before that. All right. Yeah. Sam Farnsworth, we kept you on to hear that that inspirational speech.
That was amazing.
Tell us what's going on Sports Beat tonight.
I'm going to come with the vigor tonight on
you're going to be a champion.
The night of a Utah Jazz overtime loss.
But
we're going to talk about it. I mean, Donovan Mitchell had this great soundbite afterwards. He is not happy with how he believes that he and the Jazz have been unfairly officiated in recent games. So you'll hear that tonight on Sports Beat.
You never want to take that stance. We lost these games because of the bad refs. Yeah. Even if it is true, you don't want to take that stance.
He said he didn't want to blame the refs, but...
But here we go. Yeah. All right. KSL 5 News, 10 o'clock tonight. You see that. Sports Beat as well. Thanks, Sam.
Yep.
We'll be right back. We got news, traffic, and weather. More to go. Stay right
NFL down. Quarterback and the other guy. It's the unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for hanging out with us on another evening. Hey, we've got a lot of stuff to get into, Scott. Oh, Scott. But I did want to bring up the NFL Roundup are stories that have to do with the NFL, but we can also put NFL stories other places in the show. That's my disclaimer. So don't just think this is the only place you might get some NFL
stories. That's good because people could get confused. It was like, don't you have the Roundup and you're talking about
you're
this
already you've already done time? The NFL.
Shouldn't that be in the Roundup?
I wanted to bring up a possible rule change. And
The Buffalo Bills actually brought this up, and as soon as I heard it, I went, oh, yeah, that's amazing. The Buffalo Bills have submitted rule change proposals to the NFL, one that includes barring interviews for front office and coaching positions until after conference title games and hirings until after the Super Bowl. So what they're saying is, and I always think it's weird. I always just assumed, well, this is just when they do business and who cares. But it's always weird when a guy is a head coach at a new place, and sometimes they don't allow him to coach like in that next game. Most of the time they allow him. They say, yeah, you can coach these guys through this. But I do think it's weird that maybe the week or the 2 weeks running up to the Super Bowl, these guys are getting talked to they're still talking with these guys, and you're going, hey, man, they have a layoff of these guys. Maybe you do want to hire them.
If you're a team that's not in the playoffs, you're like, I don't want to sit around and watch you guys have success.
Right.
I want to move towards getting the best possible candidate. And so the problem now is if you're a good team, which means you have good candidates to hire and probably the most desirable candidates to hire, you're off limits. You can't. You're stuck. You know. You kind of, because you're having success, you're penalized as an assistant. You don't get to talk to people. But the other, you know, so it's. It's one of those things that's not necessarily fair to those guys, but the teams that are out there that are like, you know, in la la land, they know that there's like a pecking order, and they want to get to the most desirable guy first, and they don't want to be left with like the crumbs, or because they've already fired their coach, they have to get a new one,
right?
And they want to try to get the best one possible. So they're whether. You know, there's no such thing as tampering, but I'm sure there's back channel conversations that are going on off the record.
But if the rules were really in place, if the rules were in place where that coach didn't have to.
The rules don't mean anything in the NFL, Alex. Come on.
But I'm just saying that the actual hiring wouldn't have happened because they'll do press conferences and the guy's a week away from coaching in the Super Bowl as the defensive coordinator still or something. You know, they do that periodically. And I'm always like, it seems a little bit weird. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, the Bills are asking for it because they. Maybe because they've been burned in the past or whatever. I don't know.
Guys don't get a chance to go and interview. And again, when you're a good team, you tend to have the most desirable candidates. So you know, people have to wait around for you anyways. But here's the challenge with that. Once the Super Bowl gets over, it's like they're into scouting, they're into free agency, they're into, you know, the NFL draft and the combine, the Senior Bowl. I mean, all these things, you know, they're going on. And so, actually, the Senior Bowl is after all that. I almost thought it was before. But you don't have time to get a staff in place, to get up to speed on all of the scouting, both pro and college scouting. To get, you know, to get yourself organized for a season, there's so much that goes into getting things, buttoned down, and so to wait until all of that's over actually puts a new coach at a disadvantage over an existing, you know, team because they just go, yeah, we'll just do what we did last year, and a new coach is definitely at a disadvantage. So there, you know, so it's one trying to get the best coaches, but also give them enough time to ramp up their system.
Next up on our NFL roundup, I wanted to bring this story up, Scott, to you because Joe Montana has finally admitted that Tom Brady is indeed the greatest of all time. Now, I think Joe Montana has never been the type of personality that would
knows he's the best
that would entertain that because yeah. I don't think that you guys, and when I say you guys, Scott, I mean you pompous, egocentric. Former NFL quarterbacks will really actually give an inch to somebody in the end.
I own all of those comments and compliments, by the way. I take them as compliments.
So here's what it is. So he went on ESPN's First Take, and he was asked if he was replaced as the greatest of all time. He said, oh, I think Tom has been in that place a long time. And he's had a tremendous career. He's been fun to watch. And he said, but if you look at what Tom's been able to accomplish in the time that he's played, I think that puts him definitely up there at the top of the list. And, I mean, the thing about Montana was he was 4-0 in Super Bowls, right? Everybody kind of went and you know, they were a dynasty going to those four Super Bowls,
yeah.
You know. And he won the MVP a couple of times. And, he has thrown. Tom Brady has thrown for almost 80,000 career passing yards. Okay, and he'll cross that next year. Joe Montana, any guesses what his career passing yardage was?
Probably 30-something thousand.
40,500. Yeah. I mean, like, if you look at the numbers, and part of it is just the game is totally different. You know, well, you didn't have these 5,000-yard passing seasons, like, year after year, back to back to back. I don't know. I thought it was fun.
I don't think there's any debate on it. I mean, really. I mean, it's just
– everybody knows, yes.
Joe Montana is absolutely right about that. But what has to be so amazing for Tom Brady, and I'll bet it's more amazing than anything he's ever accomplished in his career, is to have his childhood idol, the guy that he wanted to emulate, wanted to become. He grew up in the Bay Area. I mean, you know how you have a childhood idol, and to have your hero tell you that you are greater than right. Your hero.
And you've been there for a long time, actually.
Must be just the most satisfying thing that I think Tom Brady could ever have accomplished. I know that for me. If that were to happen for me, I'd be like, wow, that would mean everything to me.
I know records are made to be broken and everything, but do you really think in your mind that there's going to ever be anybody else who's going to win 7 Super Bowls?
It's just going to be
Lou Gehrig's hitting streak, or
look at Patrick Mahomes. Okay, I mean he's a young quarterback. He's been to conference championships. Right. You know, I mean, right out of the get, you know, right. Very similar to Tom Brady.
He's already 1-1.
He's 1-1 already. Yeah, and how many more is he going to get back to?
Like, will he ever get back? Yeah. You don't know. You can't.
I mean, Andy Reid is not as young as Bill Belichick was when he's, you know, started out.
Right.
So, you know, getting
keeping
a new coach,
keeping a team together, yeah. Even at a place
a
like
coach,
Kansas
a system,
City, yes.
Right. It's hard.
Even though it's a smaller market and they just go, look, I want to be successful here forever. It's like, yeah, you're going to lose some pieces in there. There was a perfect storm of like perfect drafting, perfect trading, Tom Brady being at the center of all of it that worked out for all those years for New England. I mean, you think about 21 years straight of winning the AFC East, that's an insane proposition to ask a team to do. And then whittle it back down 10 conference championship games and then 7 Super Bowl wins for Tom Brady.
See, I never thought anyone would get close to Shula's all-time wins record.
Right.
But Bill Belichick is not far. I mean,
right, he's a year and a half probably out, right?
I think he kind of cooled off a little bit the last couple of years, but –
wouldn't that be a total
bummer?
He's
got a shot at it.
We'd be like, Tom Brady, will you please come back to just so he can get past that? Just so he can get past that mark and be able to be one of the best coaches of all time. He certainly deserves it, but you know, it's just one of those things that I don't know. I don't. At the same time, he's won all those Super Bowls. Cry me a river. He's got 6 Super Bowl championships. If he's not the winningest coach of all time, he's the best Super Bowl championship winning coach of all time. All right. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. Got a 2-minute drill next right around the corner. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hour of the program was recorded this very afternoon, and you're the first person to hear it. Congratulations.
All right. Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey.
What do you think about my bumper music, dude?
I didn't care.
Whatever. You don't care. Don't act like you don't care about George Michael. Get out of here.
I don't really like George Michael.
Oh, how dare you. Jeez. That's good music, dude, bringing us back from the break.
Well, I was going with it. I don't know why you interrupted me.
You know I play the saxophone, don't you? One of these nights I'm going to play the saxophone for our own. I'm going to play the bumper music.
All right.
Live, okay? I'm just letting you know. All right. I'm going to hit this music, Scott. You're going to explain to people what we do in this last segment of the show every night. Let's do it.
All right. Well, late in the football game, got to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time. Just got to hurry. Show the same way. Got a lot still to talk about, so we don't have a lot of time. We talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry down this field. We win the game and our show, and everyone goes home happy with a trophy because everyone gets a trophy today because we don't want anyone to feel bad. And I'll go home wearing a mask, probably vaccinated.
Okay. Well, hopefully. Yeah. When are you going to get that shot, bro? What do we do? We sign you up?
Yeah, I actually qualify for it.
Let's get it. Let's do it, man. Should we do like a? I'm gonna look it up. See what kind of discount I can get on it. I want to go and get it at the cheapest place I can get it, like a drive-through vaccination spot. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So here's what we're gonna do.
Hey, that's a new business: drive-through vaccination.
Well, here's my question: what if you and I both get vaccinated? Can we do the show in the same building at the same time?
I don't know. I don't know why not.
Listen, this is my form of protest at this point. I mean, I haven't gotten the vaccine. But when I get the vaccine and when Scott gets the vaccine, bosses, can we make that work? I mean, I miss seeing this guy's mug every day, right?
It would be nice to go in.
I just pretend like you're here in the room with me, and that kind of works, but not really. All right. I miss you,
Scott. So you're living in a fantasy world.
I am, yes. Music going, like I said, two-minute drill. Let me bring this one up here. This one was a tough one to swallow for me. The Bees are delaying the season by a month. 4 weeks, all of minor league baseball, pushing their season back 1 month. And that means instead of a mid-April start date, they're going to have a mid-ish May start date. I don't care as long as we can still get some Bees games in under our belt, Scott.
I hear you.
We got to get that helmet full of ice cream.
I think of all the things that I missed, Alex. I missed going and broadcasting from these games.
That's
seriously,
what I'm saying.
I absolutely
people come
love
by
it.
That high five us.
Yep, and there's a feeling in a baseball game.
Oh yeah,
those summer games when it's warm and the sun's kind of setting, and it's just there's just a magic about minor league baseball in the summer. It's just a great atmosphere, great environment, fun to be a part of.
And
definitely a helmet full of ice cream.
A helmet full
Doesn't
of ice
hurt.
Cream. You know what's funny is one game I see you bringing back a helmet, and I was like, ooh, we got the helmet full of ice cream. I go, helmet full of ice cream, huh? And you tip it down. You go, helmet full of nachos. You know, because I'm watching my girlish figure. I got the nachos. I didn't get the. I didn't get the ice cream. That's
you
got to
make healthy
bro.
Choices, Alex.
So the Washington football team, obviously breaking a lot of new ground for a lot of folks here in Washington. Now that they aren't the Redskins of the Washington football team, and they even said, "Hey, we're not going to have a team mascot probably at least until 2022." So this next season, they're the Washington football team. They also made a decision today; they are eliminating cheerleaders. No more Washington football team cheerleaders. And while I don't think people look at of the Cowboy cheerleaders, right? When you think of like.
They're an institution, yes.
They're an institution, yeah. But
cheerleaders in the NFL.
I didn't even know
it's part of the whole pomp and pageantry of the whole experience.
I didn't even know that. I mean, if you would have told me that these teams had cheerleaders, I'd go, yeah, I guess so, because they probably have to. But they
Detroit Lions didn't have cheerleaders.
They didn't.
Neither did the New York Jets or the New York Giants.
Interesting. See, yes. And what did they do? They still put butts in the seats. It's fine. Well, they've decided that the cheerleaders' contracts actually expire March 31st. And they didn't add any other scheduled events. In fact, the team rolled something out. They said, we are not going to have a cheerleading squad anymore, the Washington football team cheerleading squad. We are going to have a Washington football team co-ed dance team, Scott Mitchell. That means that technically you and I would be eligible for the co-ed Washington football team dance team. Should we throw our hats in the ring?
Well, I mean, tradition clearly has gone out the window for the Washington football team with the name, with this new development, getting rid of Alex Smith, which is just bad karma all around. They just, you know, Daniel Snyder just hasn't been able to figure it out ever. And I wouldn't be surprised if down the road, you know, they say, look, we're only going to play with like 8 or 9 guys on the field at a time. We want to kind of conserve on doing the laundry and dirty uniforms at the end of the game and save on some salaries. I mean, and I'm not saying this is actually an absurd thing, but it just feels like the whole karma and decision making with the Washington football team, so hard for me to say, is just, you know, it's just in a bad direction. But I mean, I do like the dance teams, like, you know, so maybe that's the best part of going to the game.
Well, so Scott, the best part about
dance
the
party.
Best part about this to me. Well, one, I've never gone to the football games and thought to myself, you know, an NFL game especially. I think you see more cheerleaders and dancing. People go to BYU games, and they are looking forward to seeing the Cougarettes do a dance routine.
Alex, according to Jason Buck, people go to BYU football games to do knitting. Okay, so they're not necessarily there to watch a football game.
No, the football game is the happening, and they also knit.
Yeah, it's the background noise.
It's a nervous reaction thing by some people. They're like, I got to get through this. No, but the football, the what I like about this is there's some drama. There's like some reality TV drama here. The captain of the actual cheerleaders who are, you know, contracted through the end of this month, First Lady Candace, says there's nothing different about what they've described or what they're going to do and what we did all these last few seasons. We tumble every touchdown. We flip each other during each pregame. Already have dozens of costumes. We're already arguably the most diverse team in all of football. So she makes a point, but she doesn't like the move to go to the all. I think this is the actual announcement made by the
NFL
team.
So the choreography is going to be hard hitting hip hop choreography coupled with true athleticism. So you'll see acrobatics. You'll see the teams using props, whether it's flags or anything that's big and visual.
Scott, people have described our show as a hardcore hip hop dance with two athleticisms during the show. We'll also have two costume changes during the program. Back when Scott gets back into the studio. So that's what I'm assuming. I'm just saying things have changed. You're not going to have a Washington cheerleading squad anymore. You're going to have a Washington football team dance team. I'm all for it. If it's better entertainment, like bring the little kids coming out, like the Pee Wee football guys. Bring them out and have them play a football game at the half. I love that kind of stuff. You know, like some 7-year-old scores a touchdown, the whole place goes nuts. It's amazing. I don't know.
Is there something that tells me, Alex, I think you'd rather watch this than the football game? I don't know.
I'm going to have to start watching now.
I'm not saying it's wrong.
Now.
I'm just
you
saying
know what
it's
they've
not
done?
Wrong.
They've gotten my attention. So I will be watching the Washington football dance, co-ed dance team going into next season. All right. We are the KSL's unrivaled dance team. We are Scott Mitchell and Alex Geary. Thanks for being with us tonight. We'll be back again tomorrow for another edition of the program. Thursday edition, we're going to have Bill Riley on. We're going to have all sorts of things going on. So we'll see you then, everybody. For Scott, I'm Alex. Good talking to you. Be back tomorrow, because we will.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.